upon Katerina enough to know that it wasn't going to be permanent. I knew it wasn't my real life. My real life took place in our basement, where Katerina and I did combat training. By day, it was an ordinary suburban rec room, with a big comfy couch and a TV in one corner and a ping-pong table in the other. By night, it was a well-stocked combat training gym, with hanging bags, floor mats, weapons, and even a makeshift pommel horse. In public, Katerina played the part of my mother, claiming that her husband and my father had been killed in a car accident when I was an infant. Our names, our lives, our stories were all fictions, identities for me and Katerina to hide behind. But those identities allowed us to live out in the open, acting normal. Blending in. That was one way of hiding. But we slipped up. To this day, I can remember our conversation as we drove away from Denver, headed to Mexico for no other reason than we'd never been there, both of us trying to figure out how exactly we'd blown our cover. Something I said to my friend Eliza had contradicted something Katerina had said to Eliza's mother. Before Denver, we'd lived in Nova Scotia for a cold, cold winter. But as I remembered it, our story, the lie we'd agreed to tell, was that we'd lived in Boston before Denver. Katerina remembered differently and claimed Tallahassee as our previous home. Then Eliza told her mother, and that's when people started to get suspicious. It was hardly a calamitous exposure. We had no immediate reason to believe our slip would raise the kind of suspicion that would attract the Mogadorians to our location. But our life had gone sour there, and Katerina figured we'd been there long enough as it was. So we moved yet again. The sun is bright and hard in Puerto Blanco, the air impossibly dry. Katerina and I make no attempt to blend in with the other residents, Mexican farmers and their children. Our only regular contact with the locals is our once-a-week trip into town to buy essentials at the small store. We are the only whites for many miles, and though we both speak good Spanish, there's no confusing us for natives of the place. To our neighbors, we are the gringas, strange white recluses. Sometimes you can hide just as effectively by sticking out, Katerina says. She appears to be right. We have been here almost a year, and we haven't been bothered once. We lead a lonely but ordered life in a sprawling, single-level shack tucked between two big patches of farmland. We wake up with the sun, and before eating or showering, Katerina has me run drills in the backyard, running up and down a small hill, doing calisthenics, and practicing Tai Chi. We take advantage of the two relatively cool hours of morning. Morning drills are followed by a light breakfast, then 3 hours of studies, languages, world history, and whatever other subjects Katerina can dig up from the internet. She says her teaching method and subject matter are eclectic. I don't know what that word means, but I'm just grateful for the variety. Katerina is a quiet, thoughtful woman, and though she's the closest thing I have to a mother, she's very different from me. Studies are probably the highlight of her day. I prefer drills. After studies, it's back out into the blazing sun, where the heat makes me dizzy enough that I can almost hallucinate my imagined enemies. I do battle with straw men, shooting them with arrows, stabbing them with knives, or simply pummeling them with my bare fists. But half blind from the sun, I see them as Mogadorians, and I relish the chance to tear them to pieces. Katerina says even though I am only 13 years old, I'm so agile and so strong, I could easily take down even a well-trained adult. One of the nice things about living in Puerto Blanco is that I don't have to hide my skills. Back in Denver, whether swimming at the Y or just playing on the street, I always had to hold back.